Milwaukee Public School Superintendent Darian Driver this week revealed sweeping plans to improve Milwaukee's public schools. Among the proposed changes are measures like implementing school uniforms, altering the annual school calendar, and making staff changes at low-performing schools. There's also a proposal to make Milwaukee Public Schools the city's sole charter school authority.
The goal is to turn the tide on ongoing problems of the district. According to state exams, only about 20% of the school district students can read at proficient levels, and graduation rates have dropped among all racial groups in the district, and enrollment is down too.
Joining us now is Alan Borsuk, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School. He writes an education column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Always glad to be here.
Before we dig into the specifics of this plan, Alan, you've told us in the past you are often skeptical of the big new plan. You've written actually pretty recently this fall that you're skeptical of the idea of the superhero superintendent coming in to save the district. What you've seen of this plan so far, do you think that at least maybe it's not the super plan that's going to save everything, but are there positive steps that can move things forward?
Well, I stand by everything I've ever said. Well, maybe not, but in those cases I do. And I don't think this is a super plan. I think it's a, in comparison with a lot of things that have happened around here, fairly bold set of ideas, and I give Dr. Driver credit for floating them and really trying to address some needs of kids in the city, both within MPS and even a little more broadly. It's not the revolution, but there's some interesting ideas in there, and just what will actually happen, of course, is the real question. It's one thing to have a brainstorming session. It's another thing to make real change.
Right. These are all, a lot of these are things that she herself can't do on her own, and the district itself, a lot of things require some kind of approval from the state legislature or the Department of Public Instruction. Is that right?
Well, there are several different ideas that are floating here, and yeah, even changing the start date might require legislative approval, depending on how you do it. There's some loopholes, but the prevailing law in Wisconsin is that you can't start school before September 1st, and she's been quite committed to that. And certainly anything that involves the independent charter schools and the private voucher schools, MPS can't do much about that without major change. And those are the elements of the plan that I think are least likely to fly. But things like uniforms, and especially some more energetic steps to deal with schools that have chronically low scores, such as working with principals, changing staffs, more targeted professional development. Those are things entirely within MPS's control. So those ought to be able to happen.
And let's make that our starting point, this idea of changes at underperforming schools. This comes after there was a state effort to, in essence, take over some of those schools. It looks like that's not happening now. Can you talk about, you know, what kind of schools are we talking about? How bad are things, and what would change based on what Superintendent, what Dr. Driver has said?
Well, there's a lot of layers to answering that. The main feature of that law that was passed in the spring of 2015 involved turning a handful and then a growing number over the years of low-performing schools over to an independent body under the control of the Milwaukee County Executive. And that didn't fly at all. It never got off the ground. Other aspects of that law are having some impact, you could argue. But nonetheless, the law as a whole was a failure. So I would put some context here that come next spring and the new state budget, Republican leaders have already said several times they're going to take up MPS issues. Everything's on the table is a phrase that's been used. Some of what MPS is doing now, what Dr. Driver is advocating, in my mind, has to be put in that context, that it's a strategy to try to say to the legislature, hey, we're doing things, we're taking new action, we're taking our problems seriously and addressing them, so ease up on us. I think there's a political aspect to this, which isn't to say there isn't an entirely educationally defensible aspect of addressing your problems, but there's a lot of politics going on here.
Right. As you evaluate the still relatively new superintendent in the scope of things, is she someone who can work with Republican lawmakers who, based on what happens on Election Day next week, may still be really big stakeholders here?
Oh, I think there's almost no question that no matter what happens, the Republicans are still going to be holding all the cards come next spring in the state budget process, both the governor's office and the two houses of the legislature. Dr. Driver, who is still young, I believe she's 38 currently. I think that's right. She's under 40 for sure. Very smart, very good at dealing with people, warm, challenging at the same time. She's the one person around here who everyone speaks well of, and I hope means it, including the Republican leadership. So she's the best vehicle that MPS has to ride on here, is pushing her ideas, pushing her out in front of the public more, and using what her ideas as a selling point, saying, we're on the move here. And yes, I think she's very capable of working with the Republican leadership, and she's got pretty good relations with those leaders and with the business community here and so on. So she's a big asset to MPS at this point, and I think the school board knows that.
Talking to Alan Borsuk from Marquette University. He writes about education, has done so for some time now for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at new proposals from the superintendent of the Milwaukee Public School District. Wide variety of suggestions. Let's look at another one of those. Creating, Alan, an Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement. An office could do a lot of different things, but I want to turn to this focus, Black and Latino Male Achievement. Is that seen as one of the biggest disparities in education, male boys, black and Latino boys in schools?
Well, let's make it clear we're talking in broad terms, because there's African-American males and Hispanic males that are doing great. There are white males that are doing bad. But if you look at the overall statistics, yes, absolutely. The statistics, especially for African-American teenage boys in Milwaukee, are shocking. They're among the worst in the country. The gaps between blacks and whites and graduation rate and reading scores and so on are among the worst in the country, if not the worst in the country, depending on which year it is and which test it is. And boys are doing worse than girls overall. So that is a really, really sore point. There's just a huge need to be addressed there. What would be proved by creating this office would depend entirely on what actually happens. Again, the gap between saying we're going to close this gap and actually closing this gap is, and those are two different stories.
Now, here's a different one, school uniforms. Now, as someone who produced talk radio shows about 15 years ago, this was a hot topic, a hot debate. People were really up in arms on one side or the other of the idea of requiring school uniforms in public schools. This is something that Dr. Driver has suggested. Is there an appetite for this in Milwaukee schools?
I would say yes. Frankly, a lot of education policy stuff is pretty boring and doesn't connect with kids and parents. But school uniforms, what am I going to wear to school today? That's something everyone relates to. There are a lot of private schools in Milwaukee and charter schools, and there are even a few schools in MPS that do have uniform requirements. In the case of the public schools, they can't require any kid to do it, but they can make it a big selling point. And schools that have done it, the compliance is pretty high. We're talking about polo shirts and khakis. We're not talking about sports coats and ties. But nonetheless, it creates an environment. The argument goes where kids aren't worried about what they're dressed in. It's simpler. It creates a school spirit. Generally, it's been popular in schools where it's been done, both with parents and with kids. Sometimes, especially older kids, gripe about it a lot, but actually seem to like it. So overall, I would say this would be a popular idea. Are there people who would disagree with that? Absolutely. And there may be entire school communities which would disagree with it, but overall, that's a popular move.
We're looking at proposed changes to the Milwaukee public school system with Alan Borsuk, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School.
And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about the superintendent's proposals for overhauling Milwaukee public schools? What's your take on the idea of changing the annual school calendar or having students wear school uniforms? And what do you think would help Milwaukee schools? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about sweeping changes to Milwaukee Public Schools proposed this week by Superintendent Darian Driver, and we want your take on this. Do you welcome this proposal to make Milwaukee Public Schools the sole chartering authority in the district? And what about plans to create an Office of Black and Latino Male Achievement? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or send a tweet to @CentralTimeWPR.
Alan Borsak stays with us, senior fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School, education columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll go right to a caller with Leslie on the line in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Leslie?
Well, I just wanted to say that I've always been a supporter of school dress code or uniform for Milwaukee Public Schools, because I always felt that with it being that way, what it does is that when kids come into the classroom, that's just one thing that's a less of a distraction from them from the classroom environment, that they're not focusing on who has what. They're focusing on the lessons. Plus, also, like, as one role block or barrier that's eliminated for people who, or maybe families of low income or what have you, that may not feel like, I don't have the means to, you know, buy all this stuff for my kids to attend school, or have them feel a certain kind of way when they attend school. But I've always felt that was something that I was hoping that would have been done a long time ago versus what's being done now. But I'm happy to see that it's on the horizon, hopefully.
Leslie, thanks for the call. So, Alan, a school dress code as one less distraction and a status equalizer, it sounds like. Is that another part of the argument in favor?
Sure, and a lot of parents, a lot of teachers would agree with that. I went hunting a few months ago looking for research on this, and I didn't find much. So I don't know how much there's any firm basis for saying this improves student achievement or anything. It's more like, how do you think it works in your own school or with your own kids? A lot of support for it, though.
Thanks a lot for that call, Leslie. Before we go back to our callers, Alan, one of the last times I talked to you about Milwaukee schools, one idea that was out there was trying to view Education Milwaukee as, you know, one school system, public, charter, voucher, you name it. And some of Dr. Driver's proposals inch along those lines. What did you think what she had to say about where there could be coordination between the public schools and the other schools?
I think it would be a big step forward for Milwaukee as a whole if everyone collaborated more, worked together more, and fought less. So to that degree, I'm eager to see it. The idea of all the charter schools being turned over to MPS and some of the other things, there might be some progress and there's some steps there, but there's a lot of history here, and it's not going to be easy to change. And I'm not sure whether it's a good idea to change or not, but to work together and to hold all kids to high standards, these kind of things, there are places in the country where the climate is much better than Milwaukee on these issues, and we ought to try to emulate some of those places. Denver is one that's often singled out.
Back to our callers now with Muhammad in Chicago. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I think all the ideas that's been presented from the school superintendent are very progressive, and I think it would benefit Milwaukee greatly. I'm one who advocated uniforms years and years ago when I was in Detroit. And the reason we came up with that is because kids were killing kids over shoes and clothes and coats. That's not happening now, thank God. But uniform is a great idea. It changes the attitude when the child goes to school. You know, it changes where, you know, the standard of excellence is a clean shirt. So you teach your boys and your girls to clean their uniforms, their white shirts, and that's it. The idea about the young black males and Latinos, definitely have to get a group on that and a focus on constructive education. That's my comment.
Muhammad, thanks a lot for that call. He likes most of what he's hearing so far. And Alan, I know these ideas were just presented a couple days ago. They'll be formally introduced, it sounds like, over, you know, the course of the next year in various ways. But are you seeing positive responses like that one from Muhammad?
Well, I'm sure that's out there. But yes, there's been no formal action. In fact, these ideas came out of an informal board session to discuss long-term ideas with no action taken on Tuesday night, and almost nobody was there. So it's going to take a while to roll this out. And I think, again, the political context of rolling it out is going to be something to really keep an eye on. So what will actually evolve, I don't know, but I think certain things like the uniforms will hit a real popular chord.
Muhammad, thanks for that call. Alan, one more point that we haven't dug into yet. Changing the school calendar, starting significantly yeah. earlier, it sounds like, ending a little earlier than adding a five-week session, kind of a catch-up period, I guess, for students who need that. What do you make of that?
Well, I know Dr. Driver feels that this would be a big plus, and among other things, there's ways that this could be done that would save MPS a lot of money and busing, staff training, some other things that are staggered out at different schools that have different timetables. It would require potentially a change in state law, which requires schools generally to open no earlier than September 1st. I love this piece of history. That was a law that was handled through the tourism committees and not through the education committees when it passed the legislature almost 20 years ago, because it was really done to encourage vacationing and to keep high school kids working in hotels and resorts until Labor Day. Dr. Driver thinks it would be a big help to start a little earlier. I'm a little skeptical, but only in that I think the real issue would be, would it add days to the school year? And at this point, no one's proposing that. If you have 180 school days, I don't know how much difference it makes how you spread them out. So we'll have to see on that. In most places in the country, school starts before September 1st.
Alan, just a few moments left. Is there an appetite for change in Milwaukee schools such that people, even people on different sides of the political aisle, might be able to get together behind some of these proposals?
Boy, that is exactly the question I would have. I think yes, but any change is hard. And changing a system as big as MPS and where the politics are so entrenched between the voucher people and the public school people, the union people, and the business people and so on, is very, very hard. So I don't know what the appetite is, but I certainly think that's something that we all need to keep an eye on.
We'll leave it there. Alan, thanks as always.
Glad to be here. Thanks for your interest.
That's Alan Borsuk, Senior Fellow in Law and Public Policy at Marquette University Law School, education columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.